Our song of invitation in just a few minutes will be number 192. 192. Our theme for the month is loving others, and it's a really good topic. I know we've had some good lessons on it so far. Tonight I want us to look at a parable. If you have your Bibles, open up to Luke chapter 10, starting in about verse 25. We're going to look at this parable and apply it. Starting in verse 25 of Luke chapter 10, it says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up, tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Then Jesus answered and said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and then passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these 3 do you think was the neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said to him, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." You see, we've all heard this parable and we've all heard these answers. But as I was really going back and studying for this lesson, I got to thinking about loving others. And it really made me stop and think. And as I was thinking about loving others, I think that is something that we are all born with the innate ability to do, to be able to receive love and to be able to give love. If you've ever watched a newborn baby, how many people have ever watched a newborn baby? Show of hands. Make sure everybody's awake today. Everybody's seen a newborn baby. And they're cute, they're snuggly. But if you've ever watched closely, and I love watching the interactions, and especially the facial expressions that young newborns make. And Mark and Tammy, I'm sure that you probably noticed this with your own. If the mama or the daddy is holding the baby, and somebody comes up and says, "Can I hold the baby?" And they're like, "Sure." And they pass the baby, and the baby realizes it's not with who they thought they were. They might get a little fussy, might get a little agitated. You see their face kind of bunch up. And I think that's one of the cutest little faces. But then when they go back to the parents or the grandparents or who they thought should have them, you can see this kind of calmness come over their face. That peacefulness, that surrealness. I think that we are all born with that innate ability to receive love and to be able to give love. And those babies understand that when they're with their parents or their grandparents or who they think they should be with, you can almost see the sense of love that they pass back and forth. But you see, when it comes to loving others, sometimes we kind of forget that. Sometimes we have that issue of remembering that we have that ability to give love and to receive love. You see, and God made us that way. In Genesis chapter 2, He made us as social creatures, ready to give love and to be loved. You see, it says in chapter 2, verse 18 of Genesis, "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him.'" You see, God made us with that inept ability to be social creatures. We want to be around others, and we need to be around others. Sometimes Letha will tell you that I am very social, and sometimes I don't have a personal bubble. And sometimes she has to correct me of that, is remember your bubble, especially with COVID. You know, keep your distance, watch out. And that is something that I think we all have, that ability to show love and give love. And even throughout Scripture, from Adam on, we see that Jesus and God keep telling us how much we should love others. He even starts out his Ten Commandments starting in Deuteronomy chapter 5. The first four commandments we see deal with how we love God. We see that in Luke chapter 10, when the lawyer is testing Jesus, he said, "What is your reading of it?" And he says that you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. But then he goes on and says, and the second is likened to it, to love your neighbor as yourself. When you go back and look at the Ten Commandments, you see that he is exactly right. The first four commandments deal with how we love God. And the last six deal with how we love others and how we should treat others. You see, the first one says, "You shall not have any other gods before me." The second was, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image, nor shall you bow down to it or serve it." The third, "You shall not take the Lord's name in vain." And the fourth one is, "Keep the Sabbath." You see, the first four deal with how we love our Lord and Savior, how we deal with God. But then the last six come into play. And he talks about, very first off, honor your father and your mother. Just like when we see that little baby being passed around and then he realizes, I'm back to mom and dad. I'm back safe. I'm where I'm supposed to be. That the very first one is to honor your father and mother. The next is, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, and you shall not covet. You see, this lawyer understood the law and how important it was. But the one thing he was questioning is, who is my neighbor? So how can we take this parable and make it applicable today? I think there's three things that we can take from it. And that's, first, we need to have compassion for all people. You see, as he goes through this parable, when we see the Samaritan, he says he has compassion. The second thing that we see is he's willing to give of his own things. And the last thing that we'll look at is sometimes when we love others, we go the extra mile. So let's dig into this a little bit more. It says, it picks out three people, is what Jesus says in this parable. He has three different people that pass by this same person. And you have three completely different responses. You have several different actions and how they go about this thing. When we look at loving others, like I said, we need to have a compassion, not just for those that we know, but a compassion for all people. This Samaritan had no clue who was hurt. And sometimes when we show our love, it's to those that we know. Sometimes we don't show our love to those that might need it the most. We should have compassion for all people. And Jesus says that even in the Sermon on the Mount, starting in Matthew chapter 5, as he is going through the Sermon on the Mount, he tells us something else that is totally different from what they've heard. Starting in verse 43, it says, "You have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. See, Jesus is telling this big crowd in his sermon that you should have compassion for all people, no matter who they are. He says, you've heard it, that you should love your brother as yourself. But I'm telling you now to love your enemies as well. And while we were at camp, we had a class on this, and John Pippin from Baxter Church of Christ put it very eloquently. He says, if you can't love somebody like they're your neighbor, then treat them as an enemy. And everybody just kind of looked at him, and he goes, I've confused some of you, hadn't I? He said, if you can't love them like a brother, treat them as an enemy. And he goes, and how are we supposed to treat our enemies? He said, Jesus told us to love our enemies. So if you can't treat them like a brother, treat them like an enemy. And that means love them as well. So we should have compassion for all people. See, sometimes when we don't do this, we have a lack of showing love to others because we justify it. We try to justify it inside ourselves of why we're not showing our love to others. Or sometimes we wonder if our neighbor is anyone who we might come in contact with at any time. Who is that neighbor that we need to show extra special love to? Are we going to come into contact with those? Brother Sean Flatt was with us, I think it was about 2 years ago, for Friends and Family Day. And he said, you know, I was praying for an opportunity. And he goes, and then Mark called me. Sometimes we need to pray for those opportunities to be able to show love to our neighbors, no matter who they are. And then also that love means acting upon the person's need. Sometimes we have to figure out what that person needs to show them the love that they need. You see, when we look at this parable, we first see a priest walk by from far away. It says, now by chance a certain priest went down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. This was a person that was supposed to be able to help. Somebody was charged with helping others, but yet when he comes across somebody that truly needed help, he looked from a distance and tried to stay as far away on the other side of the road as he could. The second we see is a Levite. And it says, likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, he came and looked and then passed by on the other side. You see, the Levite was a person that was set aside. You see, God made the tribe of Levi. That was where all the priests were going to come from. Now, not all Levites were priests, but they helped with the priest if they weren't one. See, this was another person that was supposed to be a person that could help others. But likewise, he just kind of looked and then walked by on the other side. But lastly, we see the Samaritan walk by, and when he seen him from a distance, said he had compassion. And as I thought about this, I looked up compassion. And it said, one that shows sympathy or pity or lends a helping hand in time of need. You see, he had sympathy as well as pity, and also did the same thing and lent a hand in the time of need. He seen what needed to be done, and it says he had compassion. And when we see somebody in need, we should run to them. See, I had a friend 2 weeks ago, right before we left. I didn't know anything about it, but my mom called really quickly. I just made it home. She says, hey, what kind of car does Chandler Johns drive? And Chandler Johnson has been a friend of mine since first grade. And I said, he drives a black Ford Focus, or Ford Fusion. She said, I think he was just involved in a wreck. He can't answer his phone right now. He's talking to the policeman, but call him and check on him. She goes, I couldn't get to him, but he was surrounded by his wife and his son, and the policeman was there trying to figure out what happened. And so I waited about 20 minutes and immediately called him. He said, hey, what's going on? I said, hey, I'm just checking on you. Are you okay? He said, yeah, why are you checking on me? I said, Mom said she thought she seen you in a wreck. He said, well, yeah, I was. He said, a lady was waved out from the gas station or the car wash, and I was in the turn lane, and she ran right smack dab into me, just right there in front of everybody. He goes, it's not very much damage, but we're all okay. The main thing is we all got out. We're all walking. We're all talking. And he goes, things can be replaced. He said, but I really appreciate you checking on me. You see, sometimes we need to have that kind of compassion for everybody, not just for the people that we know, but for everybody. But as we read through this parable, we see a collection of attitudes here in this parable that sometimes we might fall into. You see, to the lawyer, this wounded man was the subject to be discussed. Did he need somebody to represent him? To the thieves, the wounded man was someone they used to exploit for personal gain. To the priest, the wounded man was a problem to be avoided at all cost. To the Levite, the wounded man was something to see but not get involved with. To the Samaritan, the wounded man was another person who was worth being cared for and shown love to. To the innkeeper, the wounded man was a customer to serve for a fee. But to Jesus, all of these people were worth dying for. You see, Jesus had that compassion for all people. And he tells us in Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 6, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, when we start to realize this compassion that the Samaritan showed, this person that most people, most Jews would stay away from. They would walk all the way around Samaria so they wouldn't have to come in contact with a Samaritan. This Samaritan was the one that showed true compassion. And when we want to love others, we start to show the characteristics of Christ for everybody we come into contact with. You see, when he realizes that he's got compassion, that he's hurt, it says he runs to him. And he immediately starts bandaging his wounds, pouring oil and wine on him. He then puts him on his own donkey, or his own animal, as it says. In the King James Version, it says, put him on his own beast. Not only did he have compassion, but he was ready to give of anything that he had right there on the spot to take care of him. You see, God's compassion for us was so great. You see, in John chapter 3, starting in verse 14, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Remember when the camp of the Israelites, they weren't listening to God, God released a bunch of snakes in the camp. He said, make for yourselves this bronze serpent and put it on a pole right in the middle of camp. That way, if somebody gets bit, they can look at it. They have a way of salvation. He says, just as I created a way of salvation for the Israelites, even so, the Son of Man must be lifted up. that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not want to send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does truth comes to light and lets his deeds be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. You see, when we love others, we are going to have that same compassion for them, to help them in any way possible. But we need to be willing to give of our means. You see, this guy started taking of his own stock and helping this person whom he never even met before. And then taking him and putting him on his own animal or beast, or however your version describes it, and takes him to the nearest inn where he takes care of him. And he even gives the innkeeper 2 denarii, 2 days' wages to take care of this man, and says, if he should use anything else, put it on my tab. I will pay for it. I will take care of it when I come again. You see, when we have compassion for somebody, we need to be willing to give of our means to help, just like Jesus did. He gave of his means to help. He gave his own life for us. Even the night before he was crucified, he was praying in the garden, said, Lord, if this cup should pass, but if not, your will be done. He was ready to give of all of his means if it was God's will. And sometimes we worry that maybe we don't have enough to be able to help. But giving of our means does not always mean our money. Sometimes that giving of our means is just a listening ear, or time spent, or sometimes just a strong back to help move something in time of need, to take care of others when they themselves cannot. You see, this same friend, the week before his wreck, now I don't think he'd worry about it as much, he couldn't get his windows to roll down. He called me and said, hey, you know more about cars than I do. I said, no, not really. I usually use Scott for that. But he says, my windows won't roll down. He goes, I think it's a fuse. I said, well, run by here, we'll check and see. And sure enough, it was a fuse. 10 minutes later, his windows rolled down, and he's on his way, and he's happy as could be because he could roll his windows down. That means he could go through McDonald's and order his drive-thru. But sometimes giving of our means is just simply being there for somebody when they need it. So this lawyer is learning that giving of his means to somebody he may have never met might mean giving of time, giving of money, or giving of himself. And when we do that, sometimes we're ready to go that extra mile for that person. You see, not only did this guy bandage his wounds in the middle of the road and helped get him up, but he took him to the innkeeper and even left the money to take care of him and said, if you spend anything else, I will repay it when I come back through. Going the extra mile for somebody makes all the difference in the world. Even Jesus, again in the Sermon on the Mount, was telling them, and starting in verse 38 of Matthew chapter 5, you have heard it was said of old, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you, take away your tunic and let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away." This Samaritan understood what going the extra mile meant. If you've ever helped someone and gave them a little bit more than they asked for, you've seen the smile on their face. You've seen the joy it brings. Going the extra mile for someone means a lot more than just the help that you've given to them. This Samaritan, and it never says whether they knew each other, but he was willing to go the extra mile for somebody he didn't even know. As Christians, that's what we are all called to do, is to go the extra mile for people. This is just what Christ did for us when he died on the cross. You see, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, but also for the whole world." See, Christ became our sin so that we could be pure before God. You see, Christ went that extra mile. He did God's will and took that upon himself to be the propitiation for our sins. But not only did he do that, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 5, it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all to be testified in due time." You see, he became not only our propitiation, but our mediator between us and God his Father. He went that extra mile not only to give of himself, but to take time to be the mediator between us so he could take all of our petitions to God the Father. He was willing to go that extra mile. If you remember back a couple months ago, I talked about the Pay It Forward movement that happened at a Dairy Queen in Minnesota, where people paid it forward for over 900 customers. It lasted 3 days, where everybody kept paying for everybody else's meal. Can you imagine if we had been in that? Would we have went that extra mile to pay for the car behind us? My brother was telling me after I was talking about this, he said, "You know, I did that once." He goes, "I stopped by McDonald's for a $1 sausage and biscuit and a $1 Coke." He goes, "I had $5. I figured $2.20 for breakfast was a good day. And the person in front of me had paid for my meal." He said, "Well, in return, I'll pay for the guy behind me." They said, "Okay, that'll be $18.22. He said, "Whoops, I had to pull out my debit card." But just imagine paying it forward and going that extra mile for somebody else and what that might do to them. How much joy that might bring. Because we've had it done for us. Because Christ went that extra mile. You see, when we look at this parable, Jesus wants us to go about loving others in a way that they see Christ in us. You see, when they look and see the good deeds that we do, they want to know why you are so different. Why do you do the things that you do? It's because we love each other. And we want everyone to understand that Christ loved us enough that he died for us. My favorite chapter in Scripture is Romans chapter 12. And I want us to think about this for just a minute. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 9, says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion, and repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men, and if it is possible, as much depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, and I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. When we truly love others, this is how we act. We show compassion to one another. We are willing to give of our means, and we are ready to go that extra mile. And when we do that, our love is not without hypocrisy. Our love is pure. It is clean. It is not evil. And we cling to what is good. We give preference to one another. We lift them up. We rejoice with them. We also weep with them in time of tears, in time of pain. We are of the same mind. And it says, lastly, that we overcome evil with good when we love each other. Christ loved us enough to die for us, to go that extra mile to Calvary, to bear that cross of shame, that burden of Calvary. Maybe there's someone here that hasn't become a Christian. Maybe you need to put Christ on in baptism and walk with Him. Or maybe you've put Christ on in baptism and you have not been compassionate to one another, or maybe you've seen compassion and have longed to show compassion some more. Maybe you just need encouragement. If there's anything we can do for you, please come as we stand and as we sing.